question is the purpose and value of seasons. And one of the things I had thought about this morning was the man, the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. He was at a beautiful place, but he had an ugly problem. He couldn't enjoy the beauty of the gate because his view of the gate was limited because he was a lame man. He was laying down. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that would be beautiful if you wasn't having such an ugly problem. And it happens to all of us. I don't care how pretty you are and how wealthy you are or how long you've been a believer, there are seasons that are dark. And sometimes it may cause us to lose faith in Jesus. At times it might cause us to lose faith in people. And we'll see here our focus verse is Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, to everything there is a season, and to a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And I'll talk a little, like I say, I give a little window into my life for the teaching and the lesson. And there'll be quite a bit of reading, but me and my husband lived on, we've always been out in the country. I've never lived in the city. And things changed for us, and we ended up having to move to the city. I've never had a neighbor. I mean, if I did, they was a long way off, and I really wasn't happy. I mean, I wasn't happy for a long time. I said, Lord, I don't like this. I don't want to know what anybody's doing, and I sure don't want them to know what I'm doing. And you got your door open, people walk through your yard, you're like, what? Well, you don't walk through people's yard? And what are you doing in my... I mean, it took a long time, but years later, my little niece was with us, and we pulled up in the yard. She said, Mimi, Uncle Charles keeps this yard so pretty. And I really never noticed it. And I said, yeah, it is pretty, ain't it? And she said, if I lived here in this house, I'd be so happy. And my feelings changed about my house. It was because I was in a season of bitterness. And that's basically what the lesson's going to be about this morning. Because, you know, we don't really have to talk about the seasons of fun and wonderful and our job is great and we're going places. I don't need to say anything about that. I'll touch on a little bit about David, but the young McBride, he did a good job Wednesday night talking about David and the seasons that David went through. But, you know, even us, unexpected seasons. So here I'll continue to read in Ecclesiastes, starting at chapter 3. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And in verse 11 it says, he hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I would have to say that in most seasons, the harder seasons or the darker seasons, all we remember about them is how hard and painful they were. We don't remember a lot of times how God helped us or how he walked us through it or how he was there or how he provided for us while we were there or how he led us out of that dark place into his marvelous light. When I often reflect back on times, or even times now, all I can think of is the pain of it. When somebody passes away or something terrible happens, you just think of the pain of it. But you know, God wants us to learn from everything. He is always trying to take something out of us so that he can impart something into us. And sometimes we can prolong a season by becoming bitter. Women. Men, they can get on the basketball court and call each other fat, and they just keep playing ball. One of us call each other fat, somebody's going down. We're going to say something on Facebook, but we ain't going to put your name. Amen. Well, see, that's the difference. We, and I'm speaking as a woman, I probably wouldn't hear this too good from a man, to be honest with you, because I'd be like, watch it. Easy, brother. Don't be trying to walk where angels tread. No, don't do it. But for women, we take offense at everything. And we can sit here this morning being all, this beautiful Sunday morning, God, we look good. And we can say, I've never been disappointed in God. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been disappointed. Man, I said, now, Lord, this is the easiest. You just speak, Lord. It's dark season to go away. The sun is shining, and he didn't say a word. One season I thought it would just last a couple weeks turned into years. And I got weary in well-doing. And my faith was shook. I still come to church. I still lifted my hands. I still said amen. I still fellowshipped. I still ate. I still went to work. But in my heart, I'd go right back to that place. Man, what a disappointment. Surely you could have worked it out by now, God. But the Bible says the season are in his hand, not mine. Hey, if it was up to us, every season would be prosperous. But it don't pan out, does it, brother? Sometimes he sends you to North Carolina. Well, for some people, it ain't a good thing. I'm thankful. I'm thankful he got me where I was and brought me to where he wanted me. It was a rough journey, but he was with me the whole way. He was with me the whole way. The whole way. He guided my footsteps. Well, I can't tell you how he guided me. Like a puzzle or a book. One step. And he'd say, take another step. And that's how I trusted him out of the place I was in. It wasn't overnight. It was little by little he walked me. And it hurt at the time. And I said, Lord, I wish this cup would pass on by me. But now that I'm in the place I'm at, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. How can I be fruitful? How is the vine fruitful if it ain't cut back? I'll touch on a little bit about David. And said it come to pass in 2 Samuel chapter 11, 1 through 4. It came to pass that after the year was expired, a time when kings went forth to battle, it was a season. And David sent Joab and said to his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rahab. And David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at eventide, David rose off his bed and walked to the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman and said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, and the wife Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him. And he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house. Now let's get this straight. For she was purified from her uncleanness. That was before this happened. I believe that's what she was doing on the rooftop. But I'll be honest with you, she could have been ugly. Oh, yeah. She could have been ugly. It don't matter what she looked like, it was David's heart. David didn't want to go through a season of war, but what he did on the rooftop led him to a season of battles all of his life. When God is trying to get you in war, don't play around. Go on to war. Go on to war. It'll cost you later. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Rooftop time is a dangerous time. That's about like strolling the internet, ain't it? Yes. Yes, it is. And if you got a problem, stroll it with your wife. Both of you look on to Google at the same time. There ain't but one way to nip it in the bud, and that's to nip it in the bud. But we'll see here that there one thing brought David out of where he was. And sometimes, even with us in a season of temptation, or when we start letting our flesh rule over us, well, I ain't going to war. I'm just hanging around here. And I'm going to sleep till eventide. Hello? We need to get up early. And we walk out on the porch and we see things, we ought to just walk right back in the house. Start cleaning, doing something else. When you see things you ain't supposed to see, get back to where you're supposed to be. We got to stay away from danger. Danger, Will Robinson. You ain't big enough, bad enough, or strong enough. You're not. And don't tempt yourself. Don't put yourself in. I've always said to my son, if you don't ever pick it up, you ain't got to put it down. Don't ever start nothing. You won't have to finish it. Amen, Brother Craven. But sometimes it's only in this season when we get confronted with something do we really acknowledge what kind of season we're in. We can be in denial about something, and then we get confronted by it, and we come out of denial. And God wants us to see things for what they really are. This is what the lesson says. I really love this lesson. That's why I'm reading the biggest part of it. It said, after being confronted with his sin by Nathan the prophet, David was informed that a portion of his punishment was that the child would die. And he was going to enter a season of losing. And all of David's best efforts couldn't avoid it. He lay on his face and fasted and prayed for 7 days until the child died. Sinful choices generally set in motion terrible consequences that most often cannot be avoided. They continue a season of our own making through which we must pass. By being confronted, this is what he said in Psalms 51. 1-3, it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. See how he come out of one sin, one season, and into another season. The Bible says sin is fun for a little while, but it's like a credit card. Soon the bill's going to show up. I mean, boy, there's times when I ain't real happy. I'd like to get a MasterCard and go to the store and buy me some shoes and some new stuff, and that's about all. Or go to Lowe's. But you know, eventually, yes, the bill is going to come. And my husband's going to say, what? Where'd you get that credit card? You only use cash. But it's seasons. These seasons, like I say, some of them we bring on ourselves. Some we bring them on in sin, we'll bring on seasons. I'll do a little more reading. It says, the same principles observed in creation are true in the lives of God's highest creation, humanity. Every life passes through seasons, and those seasons can be as diverse as summer is from winter. Seasons come and they go, generally without our having little to no control over them. They impact us greatly and will be ignored or disregarded to our own hurt. Seasons are a part of life. The most evident demonstration of seasons can be seen in the aging process. Thank you. We divide life into periods and even name them. Childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, child rearing, empty nest, and retirement are just some of the labels we place on certain seasons of life. Each of these periods bring its own challenges and often discontent. The young wish to be older, the old often long for their youth. But these seasons are of God's design and help us to have perspective in life. And in Psalms 37:25, as the psalmist wrote, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And you know, even in our darkest season, we can say that we've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Even when I didn't have a job after I got saved and I was trying to get back home to make things right with my family, I didn't have no money, but he provided bread. I didn't have the means to get back home, but he made a way. Because when it's his will, he will bring you through that season to get his will done. We think it's all about us and our goal and our plan, but listen, it's all about his will. And when it's his will, we have to line up with his will. And there's time his will is a dark place. Because, like I said before, he is trying to take something out of us. If we are hard-hearted, he wants to take that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. And he'll allow you to go through a season. But this is what he said to Peter. He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I, Jesus, have prayed. Now listen, he's prayed. The enemy wants to use it for to grind us up and to sift us, but the Lord is using it for our benefit. He might be using it, the enemy will use it for one thing, and God will get the glory in the end. That's all he, well, you know what he wants? He wants glory. That's what he, every season of our life, we shout when the baby's born, he's healthy. Thank you, Jesus. But what about the dark part? Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing it, but thank you, Jesus. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And you know, it's in the dark times, we need to remember that. And then there's times we need to be careful that we don't push people out of a season or into a season. When we look at Jesus, in the book of John, his mother was pushing him at the wedding. She said, hey, these people's run out of wine. He said, well, woman, what's that got to do with me? He made the wine, but he told her, he said, listen, this ain't my season. We got to be careful not to push people out of a season into another one. We got to be, I can encourage somebody. Hang on, honey. It ain't going to last forever. The sun's coming out. But listen, you can't push people. We have to be careful in church and even in ministry that we don't push our kids. We don't push people or encourage people to compete. Because competition ought not be in here, had it. We don't want our kids to be somebody else's kid. We want our kid to be them. I am who I am. I can't be him. He can't be me. And God never called me and him to be each other. So we have to be careful in encouraging our children. We got to have the right motive. See, I don't know what Mary's motive was at the time, but Jesus did tell her, it's not my season. And then later on in John, the brothers and sisters of Jesus was trying to provoke him to go on to Jerusalem. And he said, you go on to Jerusalem. It ain't my time. It ain't my time. So we have to be careful. Men, a few years after I had started coming to Heaven View, me and my husband got this offer. I mean, when I think about it, sometimes it's so funny. if you had any idea who I was. And I mean, I could have just did a cartwheel. I was like, wow, because I ain't never knowed money. And this had a comma in it. And I was just, I just kept thinking. I said, I can't wait till we get in private because my husband could tell me how much that is. But to me, it sounds like a lot. We could be rich. And right off the bat, I said, honey, I really appreciate this. Y'all are good people, but we where we supposed to be. And then when I got in the car, I said, how much was that? It was like it was a nice comma. But I would have been like me being like David. I'd have went after something that wasn't mine. Even though it was tempting. It was good. It wasn't nothing evil. They wasn't asking me to lie or do anything wrong, but it wasn't God's time and it wasn't God's season. It wasn't my season. And you know, and I told him, I said, let's don't tell nobody because I don't want nobody to provoke me into doing it or tempt me into, hey, that sounds good. I mean, y'all always been poor. Y'all need to do that. You know, then I'd be like, yeah, maybe it is God's will. But sometimes we don't need to tell people. We need the right influence. Because we need to be provoked or pushed for the right reason. We don't need to push people to get them elevated. We need to get push people and encourage people to go on with Jesus, not to go up no ladder. Because everything that happens, we need to give God the glory. He gets the glory for what we go through. Every season, we ought to give him glory. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Then there are some seasons we try to get out of as fast as we can. We can see it coming sometimes. Oh, you ever got a word of encouragement from somebody, a prophecy? And you was like, thank you, Jesus, you're going to bring me through. What? What? What you? And you play it over in your mind? I had somebody maybe a month ago encourage me during prayer. I said, listen, you hold fast, read the Bible fast. I said, okay. And then they prophesied to me, and I said, oh, no. I just went on and sat down. I said, here it come. Here come a season. Because you want to know why in the world would the Lord encourage you? If ain't nothing going on, you know. Here come the cloud. The storm is coming. But you know, if he hadn't gave me a word and the storm come, I'd have been lost in the storm. But through that season, I just held on. She said, hold on. Fast and pray. I said, hold on, Jesus. Help me to hold on for help. But if he hadn't not gave me the word through his word, through somebody that prophesied and ministered and obeyed him and went through a season for me, it benefited me. And he got all the glory. All the glory. I'm just telling you. There's going to be dark times. Another paragraph here. It says, the sum of man's days will encompass a wide variety of emotional climates. There'll be days when individuals' lives and circumstances will seem to be positive, good health, material prosperity, harmonious relationships are in abundance. In such seasons, laughter is the good and proper response. We are expected to rejoice in such times. But these are not the only paths we will trod. Just as surely as good days are part of life, so are there the days of adversity. And these differing seasons do not automatically denote God's disapproval or judgment. In this particular season I went through with a woman had gave me this encouragement. It could have. I started to think I've done something wrong against God during this time. I mean, I went back to the year I was born. Lord, forgive me, huh? Didn't I make that right? Lord, I don't know about you, but when the storms come, I start going back. Lord, I said I was sorry. What have I done something else? You know, what brought this on, Lord? And if it had not been for her encouragement, I would have carried all that to be my fault. But not every dark season is your fault. Every season is for the glory of God. He is trying to take something out of us to put something in. And we think, well, I'm good. No, you're not. I love you. But no, you're not. No, you're not. Everybody ain't wrong and you're right. No, that's not the case. We're wrong. And we're wrong a lot. We don't like to acknowledge it. But that's why seasons come. Sometimes we get puffed up and Jesus say, hey, let me help you get some of that air out and bring you back down. We get haughty and Jesus put his foot out. Nice trip. But it's for his glory. It's all for his glory. How can you help somebody if you ain't been through anything? How can you go anywhere to encourage anybody if you ain't seen a dark storm in your life? How can I help? And ain't that what we want to do, is help other people? I mean, when I got saved, my desire first was to get out of that area. But my second desire, I wanted to help people. And I was clumsy for years until I started feeling, hey, God has an order to this helping business, sister. And I went through a season of that. And I still go through that season. I go through fall 2 or 3 times a year. I go through winter a lot. I live in summer. But I see my little clock ticking away here, trying to be conscious of the time. I'll read a couple more and then I'll get to another point if that's okay. Generally, when God sets seasons in motion, we cannot grasp or understand the purpose at this time. What we can trust is there is indeed a purpose, and God is working it out according to his plan. We love the verse so much that some have probably overused it, but the truth remains in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But God never wants us to do foolish stuff and lean back on this scripture. We are not to premeditate a sin. Paul said, shall we continue in sin though grace abound? God forbid. So we don't get on the porch and look at things and then say, well, God will help me out later. We don't do that. We don't premeditate. Says, just as surely as the changing of the natural seasons allow the ground to recharge and the fruit trees to rest during winter, dormancy to be fruitful during the coming harvest, so God uses seasons in our life to increase our effectiveness for him. Not for us. Not for our fun. Not for our entertainment. For him. For him. The season you're going through, if it's dark, it's not just for you, but it's for him. And he'll get glory out of it if we allow him. But listen, we can prolong a season if we get bitter. Women, if we get bitter in the season we're in, it'll drag out. Because see, when you get bitter, you distance yourself from God. You can come in here every morning, pray, pray, pray. But if your heart is distanced from God, there's a problem bigger than the season you're in. But we can get bitter and not get better. But it's only when we acknowledge and we say to him, Lord, I'm getting bitter. I'm bitter at you. I'm bitter at the church. I'm bitter at the church people. I don't even like to ride by the church. I don't want to hear nothing about the church. I don't want to go to Sunday school. I ain't happy. Look at everybody else. Got everything, and I'm struggling. Everybody's going on holiday, and I'm not going anywhere. They shopping at the mall. I'm at the Salvation Army. We can get bitter. We can get bitter in the season, but the best thing for us to do to come out of that season is to start getting, well, we'll see here in John. I'll go ahead and get to that. If you could, let's go to John chapter 11. Chapter 11, starting at 18. This is my new Bible. Well, the Bible, the top and the back doesn't come off of it. It's, the words are still beautiful and still work, though. Just the cover is, hey, that's true, ain't it? You can still use a crack pot, can't you? Just got to use it for a different purpose. Don't put no water in it. Let's see, starting at verse 18 here. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now this is the story where Lazarus had died. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, and Mary sat still in the house. And said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I've been there before. I've said it about a dream I had for a long time of accomplishing something. And I said, Lord, it dissolved away. I said, if you would have helped me and been here, this wouldn't have happened. But he was there. He was there. He was there the whole time. He never left me. I never went hungry during that time. I was hurt. And I couldn't see the plan of God because I was so hurt. I couldn't get past the pain of what had happened, the disappointment. It hurt so bad. But that didn't mean he wasn't there. He was there because he's faithful. When he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he means I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. Hey, we drag in the end, but he's already at the end. Well, he was and is to come. And we're dust. And Martha said unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give to thee. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Now, it might not be your brother that's died. But maybe you're in that dark of a place that you wish you could go back and not keep going on for Jesus. But you know, in order for us to get more spiritual and to grow, there are things we're going to have to go through. We're going to have to deny the flesh and pick up our cross. And sometimes carrying your own cross is hard, but it's the will of God. And he said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, well, I know that. I know he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. So whatever season you're in, he's the resurrection. He can resurrect it. He can bring you out of it. You might think you're dying, or your dream is dying, or your vision is dying, or your business is dying, or your calling with God is dying, or your ministry is dying, but he is the resurrection. The ambulance people can come and resurrect your heart and get it pumped again, but only Jesus can resurrect the dead. He can resurrect a dead dream, a dead hope. You think your kids ain't going to get saved? Jesus can resurrect that, but only Jesus can. Only Jesus. We got to come to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if he's the author and finisher of my faith, is he not the author and finisher of the faith of my family? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. If you're in a dark season, know that the sun is going to come out. Jesus has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not given up on you. He has not cast you aside. He didn't throw you in the trash heap. He's not upset that you're going through what you're going through. It'll all be for his glory if you will just hang on and look to Jesus who can resurrect it. Don't look inward no more. Hey, look, be like David. My sin is ever before me. I am sorry. God, I am sorry, and I repent of it, and I'm turning around. And he said, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? Can we believe this? Can we believe this for ourselves? Can we believe this about Jesus? I mean, am I the only one ever went through a dark time and lost hope? I've lost a lot of things. Not weight. Thank God for that. I believe you ought to be insulated. That's my doctrine. You got your own. But he's resurrected dream after dream, hope after hope, over and over and over. When I thought this is hopeless, he would come in and pull it out. He'd say, look what I can do, honey. Look what I'm your father. Look what I can do. I'm not your earthly father. I'm your heavenly father. I can do anything. Your daddy can't resurrect the dead. He can make an old table, make a new one, honey. But the resurrector, Jesus, the resurrector. That's what he said. I'm the resurrection and the life. The life before death and the life after death. He is the resurrection. Don't give up. Don't give up. If it's dark and gloomy, just hang on. The sun is going to shine again. The Lord has not abandoned us. He's not give up on us. He gave himself for us. So listen, if you have been in this season, and it has been dark and it has been hard, know that this is what Mary did in verse 30. Now when Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. He was right. He was out of town. Martha left her home, went all the way to where Jesus was, and he stayed there. And he talked to her. I'm the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? She goes back, goes home and gets Mary, and goes right back to where she left Jesus. We can do the same thing. Right when we started going into that season and we got distant from him, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I did. I don't know why you're doing this to me. Is this some kind of judgment? Why do I feel this way? Why am I being tormented? Why is it so dark? Why does these things happen? Why are you blessing everybody else? You've forgotten me. You left me out. What about my dreams? What about my kid? What about my hope? And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm right where you left me. Won't you come back over here? Lord, I'm trying. Lord, I'm struggling. I got to go to church. I need hope. I need faith. I need encouragement. I need you, God. I got to make my way back. And the whole time he's saying, come back. I'm right where you left me. That is Jesus. He is right where you left him. He is the resurrection. He is the resurrection. You cannot resurrect your own stuff. You can't do it. We got to come to Jesus. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you want life and you got something dead, you better go to Jesus. I mean, I love this. I love Pastor Linder. I love the people here, but I'm going to tell you what, who I love. I love Jesus because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus saved me, and he resurrected my life from where I was. I was dead. I was dead in my sin and my trespasses. And he spoke to me and said, you're a sinner. Everybody else had told me a sinner. I didn't hear it. I said, you are too. But hey, when he said it, when the resurrection said it, he said, I'm the life. You're a sinner. I'm the life. I come out of darkness into light in a second. In a second. That's what he wants to do for us. Maybe not in a second, but in a season. If we don't grow bitter, let's don't prolong anything. Let's go ahead and start making our way back to him. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got mad at you. I'm sorry I doubted. Sorry I lost my faith. I started looking at other people and what they was doing. I started judging. I started being cynical, critical. But now, Lord, I'm coming back. Now when I worship you, I'm going to really worship you. I'm going to really give you thanks. I was hurt. I was mad. I said things that aren't not said, and I was disappointed. But Jesus, Jesus, you are the life and the resurrection. I love people and they can help and encourage, but Jesus is the resurrection. I love my husband, but my husband is not the resurrection. My husband's not the life. I enjoy my life with him, And he did resurrect a part of my life that was dead. But if it had not been for Jesus, the real resurrection and the life, he wants us to come to him. And he wants us to be compassionate toward other people that are going through a season we don't understand. He don't want us to judge people and say, you know why you're going through that, don't you? He don't want us to say that. He don't say it to us. But his love and kindness is better than life. And he loved us, gave himself for us. You know, he endured the cross and the season of the suffering on the cross, those days that he was pulled into Pilate's. He endured all that because he's seen what the cost. He's seen what the end of it would be for us to have salvation. And that's us. We have to endure certain seasons. We may not see through the darkness and the hardness and the sadness of it what is on the other side. But I'm telling you, the sun is going to shine. The sun's going to shine. And Jesus will get the glory for what is done. And you will see that it was not you that got you where you are. It was Jesus. It was the resurrection. So don't be hopeless this morning. Have faith. Have faith in God. He wants to help you even through the darkest time. He's there the most. But because it's dark, we can't see him, but he's there. He never has forsaken us. We may walk away from him like Martha did, but he's right where we left him. And we'll pray. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks, God. How good. What a good Father. You take us back. Yes, Jesus, you take us back. You love us. You forgive us. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're faithful when we're faithless, God. You've always been there. People come and people go, God, but you don't leave us where we are. You started a work in us, and it's your will to complete it and to finish it, God. You never start something you don't finish, God. And we're thankful for that. Help us through the dark times, Jesus, by your Spirit. Help these people, whoever's going through the dark time, God. Help them to be encouraged. Knowing that you're with them, never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.